In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading, Luke, the 24th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the passion of our Lord is full of irony. Jesus calls his dishonorable death his glory. He was betrayed with a kiss. He was accused of blasphemy, while the accusers committed blasphemy by failing to worship him. The people rightly confess that Jesus deserves to die according to the law, and what they said was true, even though it wasn't what they meant. So also the prophecy of the high priest, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. That was true, but not in the way he meant. The greatest situational irony is that the will of the Father is the same as the mob. The Father wants Barabbas to go free, and Jesus, his only begotten Son, to die in Barabbas' place. The people ask for his blood to be upon them and upon their children, pretending that killing him is a just act and there is no shame in it. And again, they are right, though not in the way that they think or mean. Finally, no epithet has ever been so true, no accusation so precise as the mocking charge of Pilate hung over Jesus' head. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The irony throughout is caused by the contrast between the good and gracious will of the Father and the sinful, evil intentions of man. They meant it for evil, but God used it and meant it for the good. Even the devil was used by God for good. He is the ultimate dupe, seduced by his own malice and greed. He has been watching and tempting mankind for a long time. He knows all the prophecies. He knows the Christ will be a tender plant, a root out of dry ground, that he will have no form or beauty or majesty, that he will be a man of sorrows. But that sorrow is not enough for the devil. Satan has to go further. He fulfills the prophecy. He makes the Messiah despised and rejected by men. He acquaints him with grief. He strikes him, smites him, and afflicts him. He rails at him, riles up the mob, and has him crucified. Yet this is the end for Satan. By the death of Jesus Christ, our salvation was won and purchased. And this most evil and unjust of all acts in all of history of the world is the absolute greatest and best thing that has ever happened. It is how and it is where God loved the world. By his death, Christ has rescued us from death and ended the reign of Satan. For surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of peace was laid upon him. But by his wounds, we are healed. And thus, we do glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and are unashamed by it. And thus we do praise God for the death of Jesus, and are bold to ask that his blood be upon our children and us. For though the cross is man at his absolute worst, the most shameful moment in history of all the world, it is not the least of the greatest moments in all of history. In fact, it is the greatest moment in all of history. The time when God loved us and used evil for good. And there is the irony. What we meant for evil, God meant and used for good. But not so on Easter. There is no irony today. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He is risen. Evil is finished. The sacrifice is complete. There are no double meanings, no conflicting agendas, no ambiguities on Easter. There is no confusion about who is the Lord and what is happening or what plan has actually taken place. Jesus was crucified. But do not be afraid. That crime is not held against you. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As far as the east is from the west, your sins have been removed from you. You are holy. You are pure. You are beloved by the Father. Dear saints of the living God, do not be afraid. He was crucified and buried, but he is not dead. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia! The victory he has won. He has won for you and for your children. On Friday, we celebrated the will of the Father that was done despite us. In Good Friday, we see the ironic goodness of God that turned evil to good. But today, on Easter, the great day of our Lord's resurrection, there is no irony. There is only joy. There is only peace. There is only triumph, and there is only victory. For alleluia, Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. And death is dead. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. And the devil and his demons fall and they shudder. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. And creation is restored and forgiven. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia! And you too shall arise. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia! And you shall be with him in paradise, where there is no more mourning, no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sin, and no more death. Today, the grave's victory has been stolen. Today, death has lost its sting. Today, Jesus lives, and you are free. Death will not keep you. Your bodily resurrection will come. The perishable will put on the imperishable, and you and I, who are mortal, will be clothed in immortality, perfection, and the beauty of Christ. For he has promised, he has spoken, and he will do it. To him be glory forever. Amen.